God is so wonderful. I'd like for you to open to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. One of the great joys or benefits of spending time in God's Word is that you get to see how awesome God is. And, you know, really, whether you're just starting out to spend time in God's Word, or you have spent much time in God's Word, in both instances, whether you're learning for the first time or reminding yourself for the 100th time, how awesome God our Father is. Because that's how God has chosen to reveal Himself, is by way of His Word. And that's why we take time with God's Word. And we want to build God's Word in our hearts. There's no real secret formula here. There really isn't. God has communicated with words. He's made Himself known with words. And that's His Word. It's really wonderful. I wanted to look at this psalm, and we're going to consider some things regarding trusting God. We'll see in a few moments that which pleases God is believing, and believing requires trust, doesn't it? Absolutely. Requires trust. And Psalm 9 talks about this. We're going to start in verse 9. It says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." I think you all understand what a refuge is. It's a place where you're protected, where you're taken care of. It's that refuge. This word, in times of trouble, is an interesting word. It means, or it can be translated, extremity. And it's only used twice in God's Word. And it communicates the idea of on its own, or cut off. In times of trouble, it is to be cut off from any hope. You're out on your own. You're cut off from any hope of deliverance. You're cut off from any hope of help. See, or aid. That's what this word means. And it says God is a refuge. Isn't that awesome? God is a refuge when there's no hope. When you got nowhere to turn. That's what He is. Then the next verse, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Okay? They that know thy name, and I think most of you are aware that phrase, thy name, is put for everything that's associated with that name. It's, you know, its reputation, its authority, the power that's associated with that name, the reputation that's associated with that name, all the things that are associated with that name of God or Jehovah. See, that's what that means. Them that know thy name. See? They know. How do we get to know God? Right. Them that know thy name will what? Put their trust in thee. See? That's something. You know, in other words, it's like to know him is to trust him. That's basically what it's saying. See? And thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Now, this is similar to a verse that you guys are pretty familiar with. And so before we continue, I want you to turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 Yeah, 1, 2, and 6, I think, here. Now, believing, faith or believing, is the substance or the foundation of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of things not seen. The great key to understanding the depth of this verse is understanding that believing is that which is based on what God has said. Do you understand? That's how it's defined. So in that it's based on what God has said because of who God is, your believing is the evidence. Do you understand? Then it says in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 6 is what I want to get to. But, or now. Now, without believing, it is impossible to please him. For, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is, or he becomes, a rewarder of them that diligently what? See, in Psalm 9 we read, thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. It's kind of a neat way of saying what is being said here in Romans. He is a what? A rewarder of them that seek him. See? That's right. And that seek him with believing. Understanding that believing is based on what God has said. Because God is faithful. That is one of the things that results from knowing God and from knowing his word. There's a familiar verse, you guys all know it. It's 2 Timothy 3. Every word of God, how does it go? I'm remembering the working translation. Let's read it. I don't remember what the King James says anymore. 2 Timothy 3. There it is. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God breathed. That's what those words mean. It's God breathed. So, scripture, God's word. That's what scripture is. It's God's word. That's how he's chosen to communicate. And then it says, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. The word of God is profitable. And you know why it's profitable? Because now you know what to believe. Really? You know what to believe. There's a lot of stuff out there about God, isn't there? But it's by way of his word that you know what to believe. He is the faithful God. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 7, and we're just going to read some verses here. Just some of the wonderful truths about why we can trust this God, why we can trust him, and really stake our lives on his word. In Deuteronomy 7. And a lot of these verses are going to be familiar to you. Verse 9. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You know, one of the things that you begin to see and really appreciate in God's word, and we're going to see it in the next, let's go to Numbers. I'm going to hold that. We're going to read Numbers 23. Yep, I shot past it. Numbers, Deuteronomy. Numbers 23. Verse 19. God is not a man that he should what?
Lie.
Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? What is so, I just love this in God's word. You know, God will make a promise to a man, for instance, for David. He made a promise to David that he would always have a man of his line stand before him. David died. David was dead. And God upheld his promise. Even when some of that line were as messed up as a football bat, he kept his word to David. He cannot lie. Isn't that something? And we'll see that in a greater way here in a moment. Well, Isaiah 46. Let's read that. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Isaiah 46. He is faithful. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the what?
The beginning.
Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. See? And I will do all my pleasure. I want you to just keep this in mind, and let's turn. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. See? Those things that be not, I declare from the beginning, the end. 1 Corinthians 1. Here's a great example of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship or the full sharing, the relationship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. When did God set that there would be a Christ?
Genesis
chapter 3. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Yeah, and you know, and in that promise from Genesis, and this is just one example, one of like a bazillion in God's word, of his declaring the end at the beginning. You know, in those verses in Genesis 3, God shows both comings. That's right. He shows his first coming, you're going to bruise his heel. And when he comes again, he's going to crush your head. See, that hadn't happened yet, but it's coming. See, he declares the end from the beginning. I am God. There is none else like me. Nobody else does what I do. See, isn't that awesome? It's just, it blows my mind. I want to show you something else here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Just in light of this, you know, the faithful God and how wonderful our Heavenly Father is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and this really is probably a teaching all in itself, but I just wanted to hit this. And it's verse 13 of this chapter. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Okay? Now we know from James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, that God does not tempt with evil. Right? Let no man say when he's tempted. Where that temptation comes from, it says in James 1, is your own desires. That's the flesh stuff. That's where the temptation comes from. Do you understand? Of course you do. You're alive. Right? That's where it comes from. It's not God tempting you. But what's so awesome here is watch this. This is what God does. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. Is that awesome? And he will make a way to escape. Not only doesn't God tempt you, but he is faithful to protect you from being tempted above that which you are able, and will make an escape for you. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. I mean, you just got to sit back and go, whoa. You know, that is just one of those things. But see, that's our Father. That's our Father. That's who we put our trust in. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Here's something else you learn about our God. 'Them that know thy name. 1 John. Again, these are familiar verses, but just fun to read. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love, or the love, is of God. And everyone that loves, with this love that's being spoken of here, is born of God. And what? And knows God. He that loves not, knoweth not. And this word knoweth not means he's not getting it. He's not understanding. He's not correctly perceiving who God is. And here's why. For God is what? He is love. That's what he is. Isn't that something? This is one of the big reasons why he is a God we can trust. Because he is love. You know, in Romans 5 it says he demonstrated his love to us in the giving of his Son. That it was demonstrated, or it was poured out, his love was poured out in the giving of Holy Spirit. In Romans 5. That's what it says. See? And we've been given Holy Spirit, which is eternal life. God just gave it to us. That's a demonstration of his great love for us. God is love. That's what he is. He never not loves because it's what he is. Do you understand? So, in loving us, when we put our trust in him, how do you think he handles that trust? Do you think he takes that lightly? When your child trusts you, do you take that lightly? I would say not. Let's go to chapter 1 of 1 John. Here's another great thing. Another great, simple, wonderful truth about our God in whom we trust, who is our refuge. And this is all part of understanding who and what he is. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what? He's light. And in him is what? No darkness. It's incredible. He is light, and there's no darkness there. There's no darkness. See, this is hard for us to comprehend because of our flesh. See? But it's what the Word says. It's what God's Word declares. In him is light and no darkness. No darkness whatever. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 12. I'm going to read a couple more verses along this line. John chapter 12. Yeah, this is great. You know, in John chapter 3, you all are familiar, for God so loved that he what?
Gave
He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said of himself that I am the light, or I am come a light into this world. Here in John 12, verse 46, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believes on me should not abide in what? Isn't that something? See? Should not abide in darkness. You know, and what it means is it's used in a figurative way. That darkness is you can't see. You stumble around. But God is what?
Light.
He's light. His word illuminates the heart. See? It illuminates God's purposes. That's right. And what life is. And that our lives can be a life that is based on trust in God. See? And that life takes on a whole new look. You know, when you start going to the Father. And trust in him and rely on him. You know, sometimes, you know, God's answer, what God's provided, might not always be what we think. But he's what? He's love, he's light, he's faithful. See? And he always does what's absolutely best for us as children. It's just so awesome. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, and that gospel is the gospel pertaining to Jesus Christ, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world or age has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, is that light?
No.
No. That's darkness. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Isn't that something? See? The light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And all that he's come and all that he's done and all that we are in him. See, that's light. That's light. And the world is set against those truths because it is ruled by something else. They may call it light. They may call it illumination. They can call it anything they want. Okay? But God's word is what's to be trusted. See? Not what people say. 1 Peter chapter 2. So many places we could go. This is pretty neat. Verse 9, I'm not going to get into the great detail of it, but it's pretty awesome. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. You know, God or Jesus Christ said to Paul when he called him to the ministry, he said, I've set you to be a light to the Gentiles, to turn people from Satan unto the living God, from darkness unto what?
Light.
Unto light. See? Because God is light. That's what he is. And when we abide in his word, we are abiding in light. When we believe on his son, Jesus Christ, and walk in who we are in Christ, we are walking in light. Isn't that something? See? That's right. I want to show you one more in Romans chapter 8. And you know, and these are the things that we think of when we pray. These are the things that we think of when we go to our Father. And we're trusting in our God. You know, sometimes the tendency is to sort of look more at what the need is or the direction you may need or whatever, more than the God that you're going to. Right? I mean, we just tend to do that sometimes. You know? And sometimes we go to the Father with a solution already in mind that we think, you know, will mean that we're actually believing. Don't do that. See? Because when I go to the Father like that, I am thinking about who? Me. Oh, this stuff can be so subtle. It is so subtle. Because I do love God. I know God's light. I know God's love. I know these things. I know them. And yet sometimes I go to the Father in prayer. I go to the Father for guidance. I go to the Father to, you know, with a need. And it's like, I'm thinking about that need. See? Or I'm thinking that, you know, if this doesn't happen, it means that I'm not believing. I'm past a place where I'm going to consider God unfaithful. That's not going to happen. No, I bring it on me. That's what I do. You ever do that? You ever hear such a thing? But those are the things that we have to set aside. We just set them aside. And you go to a Father who's light, who's love. See? In Him is no darkness at all. And then we're His kids. We are His kids. How awesome is that? Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 8, and that's where we're going to close. Romans chapter 8. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. This word spirit is put for the lifestyle. A lifestyle of bondage. Again to fear. That is not what we've received from God. Rather, that's what we came out of. See, that bondage to fear is a pretty encompassing thing. It is being a slave or a servant to sin, which issues in the fear and bondage of death. Isn't that something? And so that life is lived in that bondage. That's not what we've got. Rather, you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. See? Now we got a father. We got a daddy. And our daddy, our father, happens to be the God that we read about in Psalms. Them that know thy name. Will what? That's our God. That's our Father. That's something. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. And then that word spirit is put for you, your heart. It bears witness that we are the what? The children of God. We belong to God. And we cry, Abba, Father. We're not in bondage. We're not in fear's bondage. That's not our lifestyle. Because we have a God that we can trust. We have a God that we can rely on. We got a God that's faithful, a God that's light, a God that's love, and a God we call Father. So, David couldn't do that. Right? You know, the psalmist couldn't do that. See? We can. It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So, amen?
Amen.
All right.